Yeah.
You're listening to Chasing Prophecy Radio, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. On UPRN Talk Radio, FM 107.7 in New Orleans and FM 105.3 in Mississippi.
If it's unexplainable, we're talking about it.
Whether you're a believer or a skeptic,
we cover everything where the unknown becomes the known.
And now, here are your hosts, Jenny Nicasio and Tom Callaway.
Welcome to Chasing Prophecy on FM 107.7 in New Orleans and 105.3 in the Gulf, and where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. I'm Jenny Nicasio, along with my fabulous co-host, Tom Callaway. We're broadcasting on many different platforms, including Roku, and we have an interesting show tonight. So make sure, and we're so happy to have you here tonight. And you are what makes us special. So make sure you comment and give us your 2 cents. If you have any questions, please, we want to see them.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely, we do. Thank you, Nicole. I saw you shared this and you're on time today. So we appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, share the video. Share.
So get us all over the place. We have a wonderful guest that we're going to get to. And share the video, because apparently Jenny is a lobster today, even though we don't see it. She's saying she burnt in May. I don't know how much I believe of that, but...
Well, you know. I'm an income poop. And you know what? Did you fall asleep?
Is that what it was?
No, it was so beautiful. And I normally put sunscreen everywhere, the beginning of the, summer.
Yeah.
I only put it on my face and right here. And everywhere else, I forgot. And I burnt, I hurt so bad. I had to take Benadryl. I had to take, I had to take Advil and Tylenol. I was so, oh my God, it was horrible. But didn't, you think you'd learn. I went back out today.
Well, you're like me, and this is why we work so well on the show, is that we don't learn the first time, and we're probably not going to learn the second time. So, we got to keep coming back. Hello, Cindy. Nice to see you. There's our wonderful Cindy, always with us, always. Cindy, you always have great questions, and we have a great guest for you and Nicole actually coming up. So we will get into her in a little bit, but I was wondering whether to go first or second with this, but this is pretty important, and I want to get this out there. So, Jenny, what the hell is going on in the Vatican? They're publishing new norms to discern what supernatural phenomena are and different names.
And I thought it. This is what I came about. I thought it said that they're not going to be telling. Okay, this is legit. We're just not going to acknowledge it. That's what I came across. That's what I thought it meant.
So I'm on the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So I would, a pretty reputable source, right, for the Vatican, mm-hmm. Catholic Bishops of the United States, usccb.org. So,
and what did it say?
Vatican publishes new norms to discern alleged supernatural phenomena. And Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, you always have to have three names when you're talking about the Vatican. Prefect of the Dicastery of the Doctrine of Faith laid out 6 possible conclusions that can be reached when discerning a possible supernatural phenomenon, ranging from a declaration that an event is not of supernatural origin to authorizing and promoting piety and devotion associated with a phenomenon without affirming its divine nature. So this was May 17th. This was 4 days ago. How about that one? It's a significant development as a rule. You know what I mean? And will declare, as a rule, neither the diocese, bishop, or the episcopal conferences, nor the dicastery will declare that these phenomena are supernatural of origin. The Holy Father can authorize a special procedure in this regard. So it essentially will give, it'll think of Palenko, right? And this is going to be funny. Think of Palenko. The story comes in. It's going to filter down through this special committee and then land in one of these six special pots, basically. And that's what it's going to be called.
And they'll make the decision?
Yes, they'll make the decision. But here, furthermore, and I wanted to read that first because that's straight from the source, right? Now I got a Fox News article, and I want to get your opinion on this. It's actually... they're reporting on four. They've only released four of the six categories. And here's what they are. They'll either, so this is what they could fall into. A, whether signs of a divine action can be ascertained, the phenomenon that are alleged to be of supernatural origin. So, okay, we believe this is supernatural. B, whether there is anything that conflicts with faith and morals in the writing of the messages of those involved in the alleged phenomena in question. So, when they get the story, they have to vet that part too. Whether it's permissible to appreciate their spiritual fruits, whether they need to be purified from problematic elements, or whether the faithful should be warned about potential risks. And D, whether it is advisable for the competent authority to realize their pastoral value. So let me make a correction there. That's not four of the six categories. That's the four considerations that they need to take before they take it on. Okay. So it has to fit all of those things. So when you have a video and you catch maybe like a mist in the basement of your, you can't, they're not going to take that one because it doesn't fit into one of these. This has to be mass sightings.
Okay. So it has to be like more than one apparition. Like, let's say a statue of the Virgin Mary is, you know, her crying or blood. There has to be more than one. You mean like,
yeah,
that's ridiculous because I don't know. I just don't think that's.
Well, here's what I think they did. They wanted to set safeguards in place for not every Tom, Dick, and Harry to send every video that they've ever gotten, you know what I mean, to them.
Yeah.
And I understand that. They don't have the people, you know what I mean? I understand. I can understand that part. But when you send something, is it giving divine action? Is it speaking? Is it bleeding? So in action, it has to be doing something. It can't just be like in a picture, right? Or you know how people have like Jesus on toast. Is there anything that conflicts with faith? So they're not going to investigate something if you have Mary saying Jesus isn't real and some kind of apparition, right? They're not going to take that. Can you appreciate the spiritual fruits, whether they need to be purified of problematic? Like, are they giving a positive message is how I'm taking that one? And then D, is it advisable for the authorities to realize their pastoral value? Can they use, would they be able to use it in a message in the Catholic Church? That's how I took all four of those. But I wanted to get down to this part too, before we get into our guests. All the way, this, they have been doing this all the way back since the year 1950. Okay. And in 1950, since then till now, out of everything that they've had, only six cases could have been conclusively closed. Now, I don't have how many they got, but only six out of however many they've gotten, the Vatican proved it was not actually a spiritual thing. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. That I don't know. They should, I just don't know what to say. But Cindy, Bishop James, he's the guy on TikTok. Yeah, I was listening to him yesterday. Was it yesterday he was talking about this particular? He's saying that we're all blown out of proportion. We don't know what we're talking about. Is it the one bishop that was talking about it? He's on TikTok. Is that right, Cindy? Let me know if that's right. He was. I posted a comment because I don't know, because there was even something I was talking about. Like, they came out and said that there's rumor, conspiracy that you're hiding an alien too. Yeah, Cindy TikTok. Yeah, I listened to him. But I wanted his, he didn't answer me. I was asking him about the alien that they said is in the Vatican that they're hiding. And there's a statue too that I made a TikTok on there's a statue in Peter the Sixth, I think, his hall. There's a, and it looks like a demonic creature. And it, they said it. Mm-hmm. They said it's Christ, like coming out of a nuclear explosion. Like, why would they even have that at the Vatican?
Yeah, because a nuclear explosion has no place in the Vatican whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know what to believe. He's yeah, he's
was,
into paranormal.
It was Adam and Eve, not Atom and Eve.
Yeah, really. Did I'm trying. I was going to see if he. I was going to let Tom contact him because he has a good way with the clergy.
I bully people, ladies and gentlemen. I bully them. You can ask our next guest. I found her. I held, you know, twisted her arm until she, you know, got on the show.
I would like to. I would like to see if he would come on because I would really like to talk to him about it because maybe he can explain it better than Tom.
Maybe. But yeah, so just wanted to touch in on that. And if anybody has any questions, we can certainly get back to it later in the show too. Our guest, Miriam Rachel, go ahead, Jenny. Let's introduce her.
Sure. We will do that in just a second. Yeah. We have Miriam Rachel. She's a reader medium. She's also, she has a daughter too. Did your daughter delve into that? I'm not sure. That's what I want to ask you about. But she is a medium and a psychic, and she talks about parallel lives, echonism. I'm not sure what that is. We're going to find out what that is. I never heard those two terms. I don't know about you, Tom. I never heard them.
Never.
And let's go ahead and bring her on.
All
and
right.
She's an astrologer, too. She's a certified astrologer. So welcome to Chasing Prophecy, Marion. I don't know if you want to go Miriam. By that or Rachel. Miriam, Rachel.
Yep. Hello. Yes. Miriam
Hello.
Rachel. Hi. Yeah. My
Hello.
Hair is
Very
blowing.
Nice to have you.
Ah, thank you. My hair is blowing around because it's so humid here, you know, and I'm not.
Where are you at?
Well, believe it or not, I'm in Toronto. So.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah. It's very humid today.
Can't escape the humidity anywhere, even for you.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Fellows above the north.
Doesn't matter. We get hot summers. So, yep, we don't live in igloos.
No. Well, you know, this continues the trend, Jenny, of us being international here on Chasing
yes,
Prophecy.
Definitely.
And everybody has a story to tell. And this is what I love is because all of us are, you know, people either likers of the paranormal, mm-hmm. people with special talents, people with special gifts, people who just want to question normality as a whole. We are everywhere. We aren't American only. We're not Canadian only. We're not in the UK. We have a UK guest coming up in a couple of weeks that I will heavily promote the hell out of. But, you know, we will, you know, we're all over the place. We're all over the place. And the one thing, or not the one thing, because we probably have a lot more in common, but one of the big things we have in common is we want to question and we want to explore things outside or beyond the scope of normal, like how we talk about. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Miriam, for getting on. And first question here. So you mentioned that you started delving in to your spiritual side after your daughter was born. Mm-hmm. Did your daughter's birth actually directly affect that or
no.
That was just a timeline? Thing.
Just a timeline. It just happened. I mean, okay. I was always into this stuff. I always had a gift, but I didn't really do anything with it. I just remember when I was 16, I went to a psychic fair and I was, hello, Nicole. I was just amazed. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I could imagine myself being one of these vendors, you know, and sure enough, I'm going to be one next in July, actually. Just okay. downtown. So I'm looking forward to that. Because I've been mostly doing my work online, but now it's time to start doing local stuff, right? So anyway, I've always had the gift, but I didn't really do much with it until you know what? I believe, Nicole, I do believe she does, but she's not ready for it yet. And that's okay. She will be ready when it's her time. She's got mm-hmm. a Pac-12 house. Her moon is in Pisces. Oh, she's got it. She's got it. So, yeah. Yeah. No problem. Okay. So where was I? So yeah, I've always had this interest in psychic stuff, metaphysical stuff, spiritual stuff, but mm-hmm. I didn't really tap into it until after she was born. She's 22 now. But yeah, it just something within me started developing a stronger interest in it. So I started learning astrology. I started learning tarot. I was doing practice readings among people, just practicing among friends, etc. So that's how you do it, right? That's how you do it. So a few years after that, I did come into a very, very challenging situation that got me away from it for some time. But I'm back into it now. I've been back into it for like over 6 years. So I'm better than ever, stronger than ever. And I've been delving into mediumship, just delving into outside stuff. So, yeah, Nicole, I get that. I get that. And you know what? The thing is, you can't really focus on remembering everything, okay? You got to let your intuition build. And as your intuition builds, you're going to develop a relationship to the cards. And this is what I find. And it's just going to naturally come to you. So I do not recommend that you, like, say, if you're learning tarot, you do not need to go through the guidebook and memorize. In fact, no, you don't want to do that. You want to develop a relationship with the cards that you have. You know, that's what you need to do. And then the meanings start coming to you more naturally, and you're going to develop your own meanings as well. You know, this is why tarot readers are all so different, because they all have their own meanings. Now, you have to know the basics, definitely, but you don't need to memorize what's in the guidebooks, because everything in the guidebook you're going to see, once you do develop a relationship with the cards, you're going to see that it's just not applicable to you. Right. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, give yourself some grace. Don't stress. Literally, don't stress. And yeah, astrology is trickier. And there's even so much I need to learn about it. There's, you know, you become a forever student. You really do. Once you start getting into it, you're going to be learning it forever. There's no end to it.
Yeah. I mean, and I like what you said about being a forever student, because when are we ever done with anything?
You're right.
You know, nope. I mean, we're always learning something more. And once you think you got it, all science will come up with something else. And then we'll, you know, have to learn that. I don't even think we have the same amount of planets as when I was in school. I lost like two continents somewhere. You know what I mean? From what they're teaching in school, I don't know where they went. But, you know, just when you start figuring out the answers, they switch up the questions. I guess that's how it is. So, this is a show when we talk about the human aspect of people, especially with your type of gifts. And life happens to everyone. Mm-hmm. Challenges and setbacks are natural to us. Mm-hmm. How did your challenges set you back? And how did you end up getting back on track after your setback?
Oh, I just want to see what Nicole said here. Sure. Oh, karma cards and animal spirit cards. Oh, very nice. Cool. Yeah, I don't have those. You know what? My bandwidth is just not going to allow me to delve into anything that's just not. I mean, I'm so interested in human design because I think that's so cool, but I'm like, nope, I can't really. I don't have the bandwidth to learn. Okay. All right. So my challenge is, okay, well, I'm going to get really vulnerable here, and I do talk about this in my book. So a few years after my daughter was born, I birthed a child with complex special needs. And the thing is, I was always an extreme people pleaser. You know, I spent my youth bullied and scapegoated because I was very sensitive. I was the ugly duckling. I've always struggled with my weight. I had undiagnosed PCOS as well as ADHD. Okay, so my social skills were weird. I was a freak. So I was bullied. So I was so desperate to be accepted and liked by others. So after losing myself, I lost myself more when I was trying to help my son. I mean, I was his mother. I had to do everything I could, but it was costing me my health. It was costing me everything. And my daughter was missing out. And, it got to a point where I shot up to 300 pounds. My cortisol was so high, and it was getting dangerous. I'll just say it was getting dangerous. So I was faced with a major tower moment. Either I please society and keep sacrificing myself and take care of my son, even though my daughter will get will be negatively affected and my health will just keep going down south. Or I do what's best for everyone involved and surrender him. So he ended up going to a therapeutic residence at the age of 13 back in 2017. So that was my tipping point of releasing my echoism, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't a case where I was the day after that happened. It wasn't a case like, oh, I'm not going to be an extreme people pleaser anymore. No, it didn't work that way. It was a very slow shed. So I was dealing with sleep apnea. I couldn't walk because I was so beyond. I was so heavy. I was morbidly obese, right? And it got to a point where I'm like, in January 2018, I was having sleep apnea. I'm like, that's it. I've got to get this weight off. I've got nothing stressing me out anymore. So I dropped it. And I just slapped myself on a 1500 calorie diet, which was probably really stupid because I was probably eating a good 4,000 or 5,000 calories a day and I should have not gone so. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was rough. It was a really rough transition. Like I said, it was stupid. So I dropped weight like crazy. And then during the pandemic, I gained a lot of it back. And now I'm back to losing it again. But unfortunately, I'm diabetic because of all the yo-yoing that I've done, because I yo-yoed for years, right? Also genetics, PCO. So I'm on Ozempic. I was put on it last year. I've dropped about 50 pounds. I've got about 30 pounds to go. So that's been very difficult to shed because I'm getting closer and closer, but anyway, I got to make some adjustments and that's something to talk about for another time. But anyway, echoism. Well, that is extreme people pleasing, pathological people pleasing. So you have a spectrum, extreme narcissism, NPD, as that's a diagnosable disorder. And then the other extreme is echoism. There's no diagnosis of that. It's just what it is, right? I learned that term.
Could you explain to the people what it is exactly?
I'm going to get to that. Yeah. Okay. But I just want to say first, I learned about the term from Dr. Craig Malkin as he talked. He had written books about it. So echoism, again, is extreme people pleasing to the point that you're sacrificing yourself because you focus on everyone else's needs, but you ignore your own. Whereas with narcissism, you only focus on your own needs and you don't care about anyone else. You have no empathy, but with echoism, you're extremely empathetic to a fault. So that's what it is. And I did some studying on that more. And I'm like, yeah, that was definitely me. So I started to delve into it even more by finding some tarot, like using tarot to dig into your psyche to see why you may struggle with boundary setting. See, that's the thing. Echoists don't set boundaries and that they just get walked on, right? So there are ways to use tarot to dig into your psyche to find out why you may struggle with boundary setting, why you can't say no, because that's what echoists do. They never say no. They always do favors for those who ask them, just because they feel like everyone else's needs count but their own, right? Even if they've gotten no sleep, they don't care. Someone asks them for a favor, they're going to jump and do it, right?
Gotcha. So,
yeah. So that's what an echoist is. That's what echoism is. It's an extreme pathological people pleasing. I mean, a lot of people are people pleasers, you know, being a bit of a people pleaser, that's not really an echoist. We're talking pathological. Okay.
No, you're right, because if you have one end of a spectrum, by nature you're going to have the other one, and we hear about narcissisms.
Yep.
Narcissists probably what? A million times more than we hear about echoism and things like that.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, that's I think the term is overused personally because a lot of people are selfish, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're pathological narcissist, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
You have to have some narcissistic traits, like healthy narcissism, where you focus on your needs, but you're not going to be a jerk about everyone else's too. You got to set boundaries. You got to say no if something doesn't sit with you. you know, if someone's asking you to do something and it's just not going to, you just don't want to do it, just say, sorry, can't help you. You know, yeah. It's as simple as that. Now, I mean, I have to admit, though, I did struggle with going a little bit the other way where I was a little too self-centered. And I'm like, you know what? No, this isn't working either, because if I want to keep the relationships that I value, I'm going to have to find a middle ground. And this is where compromise comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, so that word that not a lot of us like.
No, we don't. And I don't like it. But at the same time, I have to remind myself, okay, does it cross my, does, okay, if someone's asking me to do something, but they've done things for me before, you know, you kind of have to do it. Not at your expense, though. It's just, if you value the relationship, this is where give and take comes in, right?
Yeah.
But you also, yeah, you also have to ask yourself, does it cross a boundary? If the answer is no, then you ask yourself, is this a battle worth picking? Okay. Then, all right, time to give a little bit. You know that you know what your boundaries are. So it's hard, especially if you've been people, you know, being an echoist for so many years, decades. It was a bit hard for me. It was. But I'm like, you know what? The thing is, I can't be too selfish either. I got to find that middle ground. And that's where it gets a little difficult.
Yeah, it's almost like there's like a decision tree aspect to it, and you know, and you got to follow it till to the most logical conclusion. And some, you know, a lot of times we're not logical creatures.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
Impulse and stuff like that.
It's true. It's absolutely true. So that's really what it is. So anyway, okay. I wrote a book about using tarot to overcome echoism. Now, the thing is, I talked about my story and what echoism is and talked about why it's a problem and what the signs are. And then I go on about tarot. I bridge on to tarot and I talk about each of the 78 cards and I talk about how each card can, you know, represent certain aspects of people pleasing or people pleasing recovery. Then I introduce the two together, where there are some spreads I put into the book and talk about how you can utilize them to just dig into your psyche, right? And to figure out why you may struggle with boundary setting, saying no. So that's basically what the book is about. And many people have purchased it, but I haven't gotten too many reviews, which I'd love to get more. And I've been told it's been very enlightening, very helpful. And I just want to make it clear that I'm not a therapist either. This is just based on my own. And I make that clear. And I also say tarot is not a replacement for therapy. It's not. If you're dealing with extreme trauma that like I did, because, you know, the thing is, you're not going to be an echoist just by accident. It's not a personality trait. I mean, you may be more prone to being a people pleaser just by nature, but echoism is caused by trauma, as far as emotional or verbal or mental abuse goes. That's what it's caused by, right? So if you're struggling with that, tarot alone is not going to help. You need to go to a trauma-informed therapist that will help you. But tarot is an excellent addition while you're doing the therapeutic work. It's a great addition. It's not a substitute for it, but it is a great addition. And during your sessions or in between sessions, it's a great thing to use.
Perfect. So one thing here. With tarot, I'm going to liken it to, okay, so I'm a paranormal investigator. I've been on many investigations. And one of the tools, you can have all the high-tech tools in the world, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I found the most interesting and one of the most accurate were simple dowsing rods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a pair of dowsing rods, you aren't as accurate with them in the beginning as you are maybe the 15th time. And then you're not as accurate the 15th time as you are like you have to make them your own. They have to talk to you. They have to be you. Is that the same with tarot card decks? Like if you buy a new deck, it's not going to be, you know, like I'm having a hard time thinking if I came over, say I was an experienced tarot card reader and I come grab your deck at your house. the same with Downs. I just don't think that's very accurate.
No, no, no. There's a couple of things you need to do before grabbing a deck. Okay. I honestly, there are many mixed views on this and mixed opinions, and I get it. I'm not fond of buying used decks. I'm not. And I mean, you can cleanse them. Sure, you can do that. But, you know, the thing is that they were never yours to begin with, right? It's not the same as buying one at a store where they were manufactured at a plant. I mean, you got to cleanse all the cards that you get. I just am not a fan of buying other people's or trading tarot cards. I'm not. But here's the thing. You got to intuitively feel a connection when you see the cards. Like, say if you're at a metaphysical store and there are tarot decks there, but you just feel drawn to one, that's the one you get. If you feel drawn to it, there's a reason for it. But the thing is, you don't want to start using it right away. You want to cleanse it by putting on by a windowsill during a full moon or even during a new moon. If there's an energetic charge there. And if you can do it during the day for the sunlight. Just make sure you don't do it for more than 3 or 4 hours because of the UV rays that could damage the cards, right? But it can cleanse it. You can also put it in a bowl of Himalayan salt overnight. That's another way to do it. So, yeah, so that's the kind of thing. You got to cleanse the card. You got to get to know the card. Just start practicing with it, and then you'll develop a relationship with the card. So, yeah, once you develop a relationship with the cards, then you're going to find yourself a lot more accurate with it because they're going to speak to you.
Excellent. Okay, so let's get to this. Your book, Overcoming Echoism with Tarot.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to describe who should reach out to you or who should buy your book. Who is that book for?
Well, I think this is for those who struggle with people pleasing, even if it's not pathological, but it is an issue that they're trying to work through and who are open to use tarot as well and that are open to use it as far as exploring your psyche with it, as far as why you may struggle to set boundaries. You know, this is not only for those who have, like, say, pathological people pleasing or echoism. It can be anyone who struggles with some people pleasing and wants to fix it, right? Definitely it's good for those who are in therapy for it. I mean, like I said, you don't want to start playing with tarot cards without going to therapy first, because that could end up triggering something that you don't want to happen, right? I can't stress that enough. I absolutely can't stress that enough. Yeah, so that's what it's for. That's who it's for.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, your spiritual work's only advancing. I thank you so much for your time and your openness with us. And just tell people again the book, where they can find you, and promote.
Yeah, no. So it's Overcoming Echoism with Tarot, and it's on Amazon. I'm on Amazon and Miriam Rachel, and you'll be able to find it from there.
So I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Hey, thanks, Nicole.
Have a good one. All right, there we go. That was Miriam Rachel and Echoism with Tarot. So let's get back into this, Vatican, unless you have a different topic, Jenny.
Yeah, definitely. What are your views on the alien in the Vatican? What do you think about that?
That's right. We were talking about the alien. The alien in the Vatican, to me, Let me read between the lines here a little bit. It tells me that maybe these creatures, maybe these aliens, these UFOs, these what have you, are divine or are almost angelic to a certain point. Maybe they are higher vibrational creatures that can come back down, because if they were otherworldly, and let's just take this, and this is just my opinion, it's not anybody's, but let's just take this as, let's say they were strictly extraterrestrial. They're from like another galaxy and they came here and they can bend space and time and they have a ship that can get here and they have suits that can breathe our air, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would disprove a lot of what the Vatican is trying to do here. However, you can cross both if these are angelic, higher vibrational, mm-hmm. or celestial beings. So do I think it's crazy? Do I think it's out of the realm of possibility? Absolutely not, Jenny. I think mm-hmm. this is actually, I think they can do both. What about you?
Yeah, definitely. The way I'm saying it is it's probably an angelic creature, because I keep getting back, going back and forth with, I think the Christ is from, he's an ET, mm-hmm. you know, like he's from a different dimension outside of too. Ours.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be heaven. It could just be another dimension. Because how many do they say there are? 26, supposedly. They think there's 26 different dimensions.
They're all coming with different numbers. And I guess mathematics is the way that you can verify or theorize. I don't want to say verify, but theorize as many things as you can, right? Mm-hmm. Because the way... Nicole agrees with you, 26. There you go. So she got your back. But I also believe that. I also believe what I'm trying to, and what if anybody could get a message, and I'm at my final deathbed and things like that, my message that I wanted to carry on is one does not disprove the other. You mm-hmm. can have Jesus be a celestial being or from a different dimension and the Bible still be accurate. I hate when you put the two against each other. Well, if there's aliens, that means the Bible's wrong. No,
yep.
the hell yeah. it doesn't.
No, because he ascended into heaven, meaning yeah. he went up. A light took him up. You know, what do all these people who are abducted say? A light takes them up. So,
yeah. There was one person who was really on it, and this was back in my Label Paranormal days, but they were on there and they had mentioned to me about heaven and higher dimensions being the same thing, that the fifth dimension is the lowest level of heaven. And then from there you go up and up and up, and at a higher level, you can go down, you can't go up. So say you were on level 7, you can go to Earth and all of that kind of stuff, but you can't go up to higher ones. And you have to learn your lesson. So if you were, you know, say my lesson was, I want to be loved, you know what I mean? Or I want to know love, right? I want to know love. And then you get married, you have kids, you learned what your purpose was here. That was your from 6 to 7 and different dimensions of heaven in that way. And then you have the people like, say, Mother Teresa and things like that. Obviously, they're on a much higher plane because they have done so many godly things already in their life.
Yeah.
So I just want to stress that to all of our hundreds of thousands of listeners, just because somebody might be telling you about extraterrestrial or interdimensional things does not mean your beliefs are wrong. Because you know what we are, Jenny? We are victims of our vocabulary. We yeah. might, back then, they might not have had the verbiage. They might not have had the way to do it. And it's not their fault. They're stuck in a place in time. Do you think in 2000 years from now, there's going to be more words that we don't know what they are? Of course there yeah. are. Of course and there yet, are.
Did you happen to come across that TikTok? They were talking about the King James Bible.
King James Bible? No, I have yeah, not seen
the
that one.
Version of the the Bible, King James, is supposed to be so bad that he hated women.
Yes.
He took out had to do with anything.
I
that
did
Mary,
see that. Now that you mention it. Yes. That? Okay. Yes, I did. Where he, I don't want to say whitewashed, but he like edited basically.
Yeah. Whatever anything, he wanted to put in
anything
there.
Anything that he did not like out of there. And you know, the most purest form of these holy documents were not destroyed, but scrubbed clean and placed, and he used his power, really being a king. I mean, you were God. Remember, kings were descendants of God back in England back then. So he took all of that stuff. He hated women. He made the conservative, like submissive nature of how they you know, how the ideology is now came a lot from what he was taking out of there. But what he also took out was things like the Book of Enoch, the things talking about the Anunnaki, the things talking about how their planet caused the great flood because of, you know, what everybody in this world knows that the moon controls the tides. Everybody. So how about you have another big ass planet come nearby Earth? What the hell do you think that's going to do? So that's what caused the great flood. That's why we were spawned because out of their image, because we are smaller, we are more compact, and we are more adept to live on this damn Earth than things that are, I don't know. I mean, from what we've heard, 20 to 30 feet tall. Right. So,
yeah, that's
go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's true. It's like, there's so much out there that, and what did she say? May destroy our
25 verses in the Bible about aliens. And there is. And that's where, I mean, first of all, forget about the Bible. What about medieval paintings? What about?
Oh yeah. And the Renaissance pictures, there's all these little spaceships. You can see them. So what was the artist trying to tell us? I mean, did they know that they were from outer space? I mean, did they know something that we didn't know? The artist?
I'm going to go back to the argument on those TikToks. They drew it because they saw it.
Yeah.
That's what they did. They drew it because they saw it.
Yeah.
So if you, Jenny, say you were, you know, coming up and you wanted to be an artist and you wanted to practice drawing and you go out to a hill and you overlook a farm, are you going to draw a squid? No, you're going to draw what you see.
I would like some squid because I'm hungry for that. I think maybe I'll make that. I'm sorry.
Calamari is really good. A little lemon.
I love calamari. Yes.
Now, do you take your cocktails? I will only have cocktail sauce with real horseradish and it has to be a little.
No, you're supposed to have like marinara sauce, but.
I don't know.
I'm going to have it without, I'm going to do it in a keto version. I don't want none of the fry stuff. So I'm going to fry it up with, you know, I'm going to try to eat it without the breading on it. I'm going to try. I don't know if it's going to be any good.
You got sunburn. I think you should live a little, but that's just me.
I'm freezing.
Squid is delicious.
Yeah, delicious.
It's delicious, Nicole. And you're from California. Don't you all eat seafood out there? Come on. What's the matter with you?
Oh, God. Christmas. That's all we have. They have that and shrimp. That's it. And some pasta. Seafood pasta.
Shrimp and pasta. Nicasio. How did I know you like pasta? But no, they drew it because they saw it. And what these people had to work every day to eat. They had to work every day to hunt. They had to work every day to do this, that, or the other thing. They didn't have computers. They didn't have any of this. They carved drawings in rock, people. They carved drawings in rock. You're telling me that they're thinking about getting us thousands of years later, who they might not even know would see it, and to play a joke and carve an alien into this. I don't think so. It doesn't pass mustard. And you know what? I think aliens and I think UFOs were more likely to come to this planet back because I bet the people were a lot better.
Yep, just definitely. I believe it. I mean, I don't... The thing in the Vatican could be an angel, but... It could be an alien, or they just don't want to tell us.
Well, let's play the hypothesis game here, Jenny. If you're an angel and you're coming to Earth, and the Vatican would be a logical step, right, to go. However, angels are supposed to be... let me put it this way. Angels know the correct way, right? And I'm not saying the correct religion. They just know that they're from a higher, you know, place. They're from a divine place.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they go to only one major religious area?
Well, because the Catholic Church is where it started at. That was the main church. That's probably why. It wasn't the Protestants. It wasn't the Methodists. It was the Catholic Church was the first church. And when Jesus said, "On this rock you build this my church," you know, Paul, or was it Paul that was the first pope, or was it Peter? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I think it was Paul.
Let's go with Paul. Let's go with the P name. But with everything going on in this world, I don't believe it would be an angel in that regard. Now, what would this angel be telling them? Would they be telling them you have to do a press conference? You have to tell this because there's more things coming? That certainly sounds a lot more plausible to me. That it's a foreshadowing. It's a not a warning, because that might mean like a bad idea, but like they're telling them things are going to pick up. You're going to start to, you know, this earth has been going to hell in a handbasket for too long. We need to get things right. You know what I mean? There's going to be more apparitions. There's going to be more divine entities that you will see. And this is what I need you to do. Because when people were living in sin, right? God called right to Moses and his and the commandments, right? And told him how people should live. This could that be a you could definitely get me on board with this is just a repetition of that in a smaller way. You could absolutely get me on board with that. And you're right, Nicole. They were active messengers. An angel was the one who told Mary about the birth of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It wasn't God. God didn't talk to her. It was an angel. And we have talked on the show before about a hybridization project of ultra-terrestrials, people more divine than what than others, I should say. Mm-hmm. And that's not a shot at anybody. You know what I mean? That's just saying, you know, there has been documentation and many people, and it's in the millions now. It's in the millions of people who believe maybe we were, are starting to believe maybe we were engineered a little bit. You know what I mean? Instead of, because look, the active theory right now is evolution. And there's holes all through that. And people want to poke holes at the Adam and Eve method. You know what I mean? Maybe neither one is right. Maybe we had to have had this to ensure there's some good genes to keep the human race going for so long. Because they need this place. Here's my theory. Oh, yeah. They need this place. Heaven needs an earth for people to actively listen to their message, because there is a fight. I believe there's 100% a fight going on that we don't know about and we might never know about.
Oh, there's a fight between good and evil right now.
Yes, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's a fight and nobody wants to open their eyes. Nobody wants to pay attention to it because we are so drawn in every which way that we can't take our face off out of our phones for 5 minutes, or we're worrying about what law is going to get passed. And I get it, because the world wants you to think seconds at a time. And not only think, they want you to worry. They want you to worry about how your bill's going to get paid. They want you to worry about, you know, are you going to have enough food? They want you to worry about all that kind of stuff. But that's so micro compared to the actual
even this. On. I mean, your phone. You see the Apple?
Yeah, I see it.
The Apple?
There it is.
Somewhere right here.
We got it.
You know where it is.
Yeah.
This is like the devil's toll. It's the Apple's temptation. Oh, my God. This is crazy.
Good thing I'm Android.
I mean, even the cell phone, if you think about it, it opens. You know how much shit you can look on here? I mean, it is like, you can go so many bad paths on this phone.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a Pandora's box.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's temptation. There's so much stuff on here that you can, I can order a, you know, whatever if you wanted to.
Calamari. I mean,
No, I'm seriously going to get some this week now. I'm hungry. I'm on keto. I can't stand it. I mean, I don't lose any weight, but I'm on it. I do it. You know why I do it? I'm in so much pain because I have all these autoimmune diseases. And I haven't had sugar or flour. And my pain has gone way down.
Really?
So I'll do it. Yeah, awesome. I can't have sugar. I'm like it just makes me. I won't be able to get out of bed.
Or no?
Yeah, you see this little thing I have? This is a Lily's chocolate chip. And I have them by me. Yeah, they're little chocolate chips. Lily chocolate. Hershey makes it. They have the best salted caramel, and it's all artificial sugar. It won't hurt you. It won't. It's erythritol and something else. Swerve.
That's good.
I can't have sugars. I can't have sugar. I have fruits. I have berries, Cindy, but I
won't. Yeah, but that's glucose, right?
Yeah, I don't have, I have like, I had a little bit of, I'm allowed like a quarter cup of sugar, like not sugar, a quarter cup of fruit, like berries, like raspberries, strawberries, red berries, but.
So, berries. No, berries. I'm a fan of all berries. I'm a fan of all berries. I'm not going to lie.
You know what? I'm not crazy about blueberries so much, but I love the little blackberries.
They're my least favorite. I'll eat them in a mixed bowl. I'm not going to like pick them out, but yeah, I wouldn't go there. But
well, I made really good keto quiche tonight. Oh my God, it was so good.
I keep telling you to mail me stuff. It'll last in the mail.
No, it won't. There's no way it would die. No, it was really good.
One thing that I think we should get out there here before we sign off is a special guest that's going to be coming here in just about a month.
Yeah, talk about that because that's really cool.
So has anybody, well, let me just tell you, you know, we've talked on this show before about a doctor and a very brilliant man who has found simulation evidence in COVID data. Now, don't try to draw the conclusion between COVID and simulation because you're missing the bigger picture here. This, what it is he was studying COVID data and found a known law of physics. The second law of info dynamics is what it's called, I believe. And in there, he has found that everything shrinks over time to get to this most optimal form in terms of the data he's finding, which is exactly what computers do over time. They shrink everything down to the most viable form and then save it. Otherwise, you would have 10 documents on your computer and nothing else. They have to get it down to the actual root numbers, save it, and create as much room as humanly possible for free space. This man, Dr. Melvin Vopson, has found that every single thing that he studied using this law is carrying it out the same way, which would mean the entire universe is working as a giant supercomputer, which means we are a computer program, which means this is something that's simulated going on and essentially not real. Correct. There's never going to be a point where we are knowing from inside the simulation, but all we can do is talk about it, bring it up, and show people how this is working. And this man has agreed to come on in 3 or 4 Tuesdays, the 18th. Of June. And I want to get everybody and I want to promote it. I'm going to be on this show. I'm going to add it to our commercial. I'm going to add it to UPRN. I want to promote the bejesus out of this because this man is very brilliant and he had to be coaxed a little bit. I'm being very honest. There's a lot of groups out there that tried to silence him with threats, death threats, family threats. I have a lot of respect for him because he's going against that. And for Portsmouth, and I'm going to give a shout out to Portsmouth University in Southern England, because they said they had his back. They allowed him to come on and they said, do not worry about external threats from anyone else. We will help you. It's very nice to see an employer stand by their professional, right?
I see that.
Yeah. You don't see that a lot. So this is the 21st at 1, 2, 4. It'll be, the fourth Tuesday from now, 4 Tuesdays from now will be Dr. Melvin Vopson, and he's going to join us live, and he's being a real trooper because, as you know, over in England, it's 5 hours ahead, so he'll be joining right at midnight, and he has a job, but he wants to talk to everybody over here in America. I have helped him out. I've sent over his, our declassified documents. My FOIA requests got answered. I sent him over the CIA declassified documents about how they have admitted that there are parts of energy simulations going on in here. He's a very brilliant man, and he's absolutely going to do for us wonders. So please listen to him. Since it's about a month away, if you have any questions, write to Jenny, chasingprophecyradio@gmail.com, myself, TCAHUE87@gmail.com. You guys know me on Facebook, Jenny's Facebook, Tick, whatever. Send us a question. Send us something you would like to ask, and we'll put it in there, because this show is for you. This show is for you all to put your thinking caps on and hear real evidence, not bias. This isn't what I think. This isn't what Jenny thinks. It's about you, everybody. So please. Yeah,
definitely. Talking about simulations, what about this weather that you're talking about, how they're changing the weather, and you're trying to do not so much manipulate it, but use it more.
It's ionizing, and it's like creating seeding? Yes, it's creating seeding. Now, this theory has always been around, but they're going to keep that chemtrail argument out there, even though that's false. But what they do will ionize the air, and when they ionize it, they will create pockets of negative energy. All weather is high pressure and low pressure. That's all that weather does. And when certain elements are in there, it changes it. So if you can turn high to low, low to high, you can artificially create high, sunny, low, bad weather. If you
They were talking about how the wind was going counterclockwise and then clockwise. Yeah. We had three tornadoes, one down two blocks from my house the other night. There was one in where I live, and then there was one towards town, Pittsburgh, and then there was another one like east of me. So it was like three, and we never get tornadoes. We never get tornadoes.
You don't. I have family. I know people that live out there. You never get tornadoes out that way. And the counterclockwise is an error, because in this hemisphere, it can't happen. It physically can't happen. And now you're seeing all of it. Just think how powerful something has to be to spin the wrong way. Pretty soon you're going to see your toilet flush the wrong way. Watch.
That's crazy. If I see my toilet flush the wrong way, now I'm going to be looking at my toilet
right away. I know I would. I would notice it right away. I don't have to put a bobber in there.
I'm going to be looking at my toilet now.
I know. Oh,
eating calamari in my toilet.
Yeah. Calamari in the bathroom. Oh, surf and turf.
That's gross. That's sick.
I know.
Oh.
But I just want to let's thank everybody again for this. I forgot. I went past the time. We're only supposed to be 55 minutes. That's my fault.
That's supposed.
I know.
If we start 10 minutes later. We start 10 minutes later? No.
We did.
Okay. And we start. Did. We only get 45 minutes?
55.
Oh, that's whatever.
I know.
Whatever. I ain't going to say anything. Stay under my hat.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. That's very nice.
Oh, I wanted to shout out for Sean Kelly. He's having surgery today, I think. He won't be having a show. If anybody out there can give him little prayers for him. He was diagnosed with cancer of the thyroid, so he has to have his thyroid removed. And my thoughts are with him tonight. If he's listening, I doubt it. But maybe, because it was this morning, so he might be.
Maybe.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us on Chasing Prophecy Radio. We appreciate your feedback, your comments. We love you. And if you think you'd be a great guest for the show, please contact me or Tom at chasingprophecy@gmail.com. And what's your email?
My last name, so TCAHUE87@gmail.com.
Okay, everyone. Have a great night. Enjoy the rest of the week. Get some sun.
Yes, like Jenny.
Yeah, right. Not too much.